Welcome to the online Indian Journal of Peace and Conflict Resolution. OIJ-PCR Dialogues. OIJ-PCR Dialogues, which is a platform to share experiences and facilitate the exchange of ideas and expertise on peace and conflict resolution, techniques and methodologies. These dialogue series will endeavor to highlight and discuss conflict issues pertinent to the peace and stability of the world, and will develop a forum for networking, learning, and information sharing. And what better way to initiate the dialogue when the UN is marking its 75th anniversary at a time of great disruption for the world, compounded by an unprecedented global health crisis with severe economic and social impacts. It gives me, Preeti Mankotia, your host and timekeeper for the dialogue, immense pleasure and pride to introduce our academic speaker for this event. Professor Priyankar Upadhyay has served Banaras Hindu University for over four decades in different teaching and research positions. He currently holds the UNESCO Chair for Peace and Intercultural Understanding and serves on the UNESCO UNITWIN Executive Committee of Interreligious Dialogue and Intercultural Understanding. He is on the Governing Board of Center for Studies in Social Sciences, CSSS, Institute of Asian Studies, and Presidency University in Kolkata. Apart from holding the prestigious Global Fellowship of the Peace Research Institute, Oslo, Jawaharlal Nehru University recently designated him for the prestigious Rajiv Gandhi Chair for Peace and Disarmament. Professor Upadhyay has done postdoctoral studies at London University and holds a PhD and MPhil of Jawaharlal Nehru University with specialization in peace and conflict studies. Recipient of many prestigious awards, fellowships, including the Scholar in Residence Award of the Woodrow Wilson Center of International Scholars, Washington, D.C., Faculty Research Award of the Canadian Government, Senior Fulbright Award and Australia-India Council, Senior Fellowship and Advanced International Diploma from Uppsala University. He's also published in journals and books from OUP, Manchester University Press, Cambridge University. His volume on peace and conflict, South Asian experience, and of course, the long walk of peace towards a culture of prevention, which will be a star issue of dialogue today, has received international acclaim. He also serves on the editorial boards of various journals.
Thank you so much, Preeti, for your very kind introduction.
Professor Upadhyay, I had a question, and this is of course relating to the book cover that you have on the book, and I was quite intrigued in trying to understand what inspired the book cover of the boy holding a trumpet and walking along with the soldiers who are I think possibly in a combative attire. But it's very interesting, the boy holding a trumpet and walking across. So what was the inspiration, what was so unique, and why the picture on the book was my question.
Preeti, I'll tell you something before I answer that. This book was essentially UNESCO's big package, you know, it's a big brand. And as you might notice in the website, Google search, it's there, that several book releases have taken place in many parts,
yes,
in New York, in Geneva, and you name it, and everywhere, with a lot of illustrious people coming in and having a lot of conversations about it, because this was a collaborative effort, and of course I was the leader of the one. But nobody asked about this particular question, and which in a way, and let me confess with you that just before we started this program, this question came to me, and what if somebody asked me about the cover? And then I'll tell you, very interesting, when this book was released, I had no idea where the picture has come from. It was UNESCO had a lot of resources, not as much in terms of funds and finances, but in terms of the global reach. And they got hold of this book and the cover, and they showed it to me. I said, fantastic, let's go for it. But there were not many questions. What is happening? I mean, who is this person? Who is this young boy and the wonderful setting? I didn't know when the book was published. When the book was published, and probably it's translated in French language and in Arabic too, and in Hindi also. So it's supposed to be translated in all UN languages. So when this book was translated in French, and thereafter I received a very interesting email in Spanish. And this was written by the parents of this boy, whose name then I discovered, and nobody knew in UNESCO also, so they had procured this photograph from a very professional photographer, I'm sure paying a lot of fees for it. So the name of this boy was, and I'll tell you why he was, because he is no more with us, Mariano Rige, R-I-E-G-E. And his family lives in Argentina. And when they discovered the boy on the cover of Long Walk of Peace, of their beloved son, Mariano, who died in an accident at the age of 7, they were so moved, and they wrote me such a emotive email saying that, my God, you have, the book has immortalized Mariano. And the story is that Mariano, you know, the Argentinian army had commissioned a photograph, a very eminent photographer, to disseminate some pictures about the Argentina army. And this photographer actually did a lot of exploration, and per chance he got to see this boy, Mariano Rige, playing. He was 2 years old when Pedro Luis Bauta, regional variation, Pedro, let's call him, he saw him playing in the garden of, in his family garden, and he negotiated with the boy, and then he brought him to this military parade, and this photograph was taken. And so Mariano was born in 78, and in an accident, in a traffic accident, after living intensely, you know, very, very intensely, as his family writes, for 7 years, he passed away. Here is the connection that both war and peace is interlinked. It's not a binary, it's interlinked. Peace as much as the army does. So for us, and how you look at it, so for us, we look peace into it in the Argentinian army, which celebrates May 29th as the day of Argentinian army. They commemorate it like the day of, so you know, it's beautiful, and it just happened, and I was so moved, and we wrote back to the parents, and we sent the family some books. So that's how history is made.
That's really interesting, Professor. I mean, it looks like a simple picture, but so much of story behind it was really insightful.
Nobody ever asked me this question, and I'll tell you, even in UNESCO, not many people would know that story.
Yeah, thank you. So while Professor, lasting peace seems to be the elusive goal, I really appreciate if you could share your insights to the objective and thought behind the Long Walk of Peace towards a culture of prevention. Would be great if you could value add and share your thoughts, possibly for around 10 minutes. It would really be appreciated.
All right. So let me say that, I have the UNESCO chair past more than a decade now. And it so happened that in 2015, the UNESCO took a major policy decision to carry out a research project coinciding with the International Decade of Rapprochement of Cultures, which, you know, 23 to 22 is the international decade for the rapprochement of cultures, and for which UNESCO was designated as the lead agency by the UNESCO. Now, the idea of this research project was to open up the concept of peace and to really relate it to the whole framework of sustainable development goals. in the sense that peace has been, and I would say, traditionally confined only in relationship to, as a binary, to war and peace, you know, absence of war, etc., etc. But then generally only the militaristic aspect of peace has been emphasized. And now here was a time the world was changing, and this, you know, the Agenda 2030 was launched just around the same, around the time. And so idea was that how do we develop, how do we present a holistic vision of peace in a pluralistic manner, and a process which is dynamic. And that's how, if you notice, that we have used this expression that peace is a journey. So this project was launched, and at that time when I joined this project, I was simply a member, and it had such decorated people from all over the world who joined the first meeting, and this meeting actually took place in Barcelona. So it was started as a big collaborative efforts from things, but gradually and gradually it started, it became my domain, my responsibility. You see, the idea of this particular book is, first, if you see, it's in three parts. And of course, the first part I have written in collaboration with my old-time friend and research colleague, Oshil Kulaz of East Research Institute, Oslo. But let me frankly say that, you know, this was a part of the UNESCO's proposal, and Oshil's presence did a lot of grace to me. So the first part, we open up the concept of peace, and it's very interesting. And you see, there's so much of literature that has now come up. So I just try to kind of put all these things together and bring a framework. And I think, so if you see the first part, we talked about the expanding horizons of peace, and then a lot of things about this, you know, the notion of singular peace or plural pieces, and a whole sort of a transformative journey from positive peace to justice and conflict transformation, gender and peace, and then critical perspectives on peace building. Because a lot of people say, what is peace if you don't have justice? And they just reject it out of hand. And I think some of our peace research leaders, they have talked about the importance of justice in this particular thing. Then local turn, in the sense that indigenous peace building ideas have also been brought in here. But the major thing about this project, this book project, and the major success of this project was to argue and to establish that all UN agencies have something to do about peace, and they contribute to the peace building. And go back to what I said, this was a time when the Secretary General was evolving a new conception of sustaining peace, and saying as an alternative, as an advancement to the notion of peace building, because peace building was seen only as a post-conflict activity, and here was the focus on preventing diplomacy or conflict prevention. And if you see the present arguments in the United Nations, they are saying, what is the point in something goes wrong and then you just try to defend, send more resources, money. In fact, almost 60% of UN budget is spent on UN peacekeeping, which is of no avail. I mean, of course, not to undermine the importance of peacekeepers, but it's much better to actually to go in for a prevention. They say prevention is better than cure. So conflict prevention means perceiving reasons, structural reasons, and there everything works in health, education, gender issues. So therefore, the idea was to convince these UN entities, not to convince, make them conscious. And so we invited all the, in fact, 32 UN entities. And I remember the first meeting took place in Geneva. And at the start, these, you know, whether it is WHO, UNDP, UN Women, you name all these, the chiefs, all the their heads were sitting there, the chiefs the mission, or sometimes the whole agencies, UNHCR, and very politely I said that, well, I think each one of you has a contribution. And initially, they were not coming. It's our area. Health is health. Development is development. But then gradually, it started coming to them. And then we asked them to write their own. We provided them with a framework, and they wrote scintillatingly on how their work relates to peace, whether it is about terrorism, whether it is about any other aspect. So in all, it was fascinating experience, and I think it's still a work in progress. I don't consider this volume to be an ultimate one, but it gives a perspective to people. I think in 2019 September, I was invited by the President of UN General Assembly to speak at 2 decades of commemoration of 2 decades of Culture for Peace. So somewhere I think people believe that this is some kind, if not a new approach, it's a new framework, a new template to look at peace and peace studies.
Thank you so much, Professor Upadhyay.
To continue with our academic discussion on the book, we would invite Professor Dr. Jyoti M. Pathania as a discussant in the next episode of the OIJ PCR Dialogue. Thank you for tuning in.